Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Over the last 5 weeks, we have been asking the question, who is my neighbor? You can see that question right here on the fence. And it was inspired by Jesus' great commandment to us to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. But in that text, there's a lawyer who is inquisitive and pushing Jesus, and he says, but who is my neighbor? I have been wondering, do we build fences between ourselves and our neighbors? Or do we build bridges and seek to understand those who initially appear to be very different from ourselves? The three women who wrote the book, The Faith Club, came together out of tragedy from 9/11. Now, 9/11 is one of those events that made huge shifts and changes in our country, and you probably can remember where you were and what you were doing on that day when you heard this news. At the time, I was working at the airport, and I'd been listening to something else in the car, so I hadn't heard the news until I got to work, and a friend and coworker was running down the stairs and told me we weren't having a staff meeting. We were all gathering in a big conference room, and something had happened, and I was kind of confused. I went to my office, put my stuff down, and gathered with my coworkers. And there we watched on TV as the second plane hit the World Trade Center and the towers crumbled. And then the president announced that all aircraft in the United States were grounded. Well, being the airport, we wondered, can he do that? Obviously, he could. When we go on our mission trip to New York City with the youth in 2 weeks, one of the things we'll do is to visit the 9/11 Museum. 9/11 was 18 years ago, which means most of the kids going on the trip were not even born yet, and that this reality has been part of their lives for their whole life. These three women came together because Rania, who decided that she wanted to write a children's book with these other faith traditions, knew Suzanne, who was Christian, from the bus stop. Their kids went to school together. And then they invited Priscilla, who is Jewish, into the trio. Now, Rania was asking questions about what does it mean to be Muslim and American in this country today? She is not as strict a Muslim as many people are. She doesn't cover her head and wear the long burqa, and she prays to God but doesn't practice the praying five times a day facing Mecca that many Muslims follow. Her parents were from Palestine, and her family had lived there for hundreds of years, but they were displaced when the Jewish State of Israel was created. So she grew up in Dubai, and then her family moved to the US. And she was struggling with her identity. What did it mean to be Muslim? So when her daughter started kindergarten and she met with the other parents in the class, she merely said that she had Middle Eastern heritage. And that was all she said. But several years later, when her son started kindergarten, she had been in these discussions with the faith club for several years and was becoming more secure in her identity. So she said, I am a Muslim American woman. And that got all kinds of reactions. Some people said, why aren't there more Muslims like you? Some had questions, some avoided her. But she was not the picture of what they thought of as a Muslim American woman. And she had to explain that 99% of Muslims are very peaceful people. The word Muslim actually means to devote oneself, to surrender oneself to God. The people who hijacked those airplanes also hijacked the name of the religion to mean extremism and terrorism in the eyes of the country. And that is not the case. That religion teaches peacefulness, just like Christianity does. Worldwide, Christianity is the largest religion, but Muslim is second largest with 25% of the world's population. Now, Priscilla, who is Jewish, is a Reform Jew. There are three types of Judaism: Orthodoxy, Conservative, and Reform. And Reform is the one that is most open to how do you practice Judaism in the world today. They don't wear the yarmulkes to the synagogue. Men and women worship together, and women can be rabbis in the synagogue. Israel has the most Jewish people in the world, but the United States is second. Now, Priscilla was struggling with her faith as well, how to make her faith her own. She knew the heritage and all the prayers and practices of her religion. But in many ways, Judaism is much a culture as it is a religion. And so how to translate that into her life of faith today? She also challenged Suzanne the Christian many times in their conversations about, you as the dominant faith do not understand what Rania and I go through. Have you ever been the only one in a room of your faith tradition and you feel like you have to defend the faith and explain it to people? Suzanne grew up Catholic and married someone who was Catholic, but they decided they didn't agree with some of the rigidity and teachings of the Catholic Church. So they ultimately became Episcopalian and found a congregation and a priest that they really felt was a community where they fit. Now, as we talked about in the children's message and in the reading, these three faiths all trace their heritage to Abraham. As you know in this story, God says to Abraham that your descendants will be as numerous as the stars, and yet they don't have any kids. And there are all sorts of antics as Abraham and Sarah try to take matters into their own hands, none of which works. Finally, Sarah has the idea that Abraham should have a child with her servant girl, and they have Ishmael. But this is not the son, according to the Christian tradition anyway, that God was talking about. And finally, Abraham and Sarah, in their old age, have their son, Isaac. Now, each of these traditions has certain beliefs in common. The Jewish faith looks to Moses as one of the most important prophets, the one who led the people through the Red Sea and toward the Promised Land. And they reflect on this in their holiday Passover each year. They also believe in Jesus, but they don't think of him as the Messiah. They think of Jesus as a prophet, and they're still waiting for the Messiah. Now, that's the difference with Christianity. We see Jesus as the promised one, the one we hear about in the Old Testament, the Messiah. And in the Muslim faith, they believe in Moses and Jesus and Muhammad all as prophets. Muhammad lived about 600 years after Jesus, and it is believed that the Quran was dictated to him by God. And so he is the primary spokesperson for their faith. Now, all three religions worship one God and the very same God. You may have heard the term Allah, which is the Muslim God, and it sounds very foreign and strange to us, like a different God. And yet Allah is merely the Arabic word meaning God. So Christians who speak Arabic also worship Allah. In fact, in Bethlehem, the town in Palestine where Jesus was born, there's one Lutheran church. It's aptly named Christmas Lutheran, and the congregation speaks Arabic and worships in Arabic. Later in the service, to the extent that you are comfortable, you will be invited to join in reading prayers from each of these three traditions. Each of these faiths has love of God and love of neighbor and peace at its heart. Each of these women, as they got to know each other better, invited their friends to worship services or holidays or special events at their place of worship. And when Suzanne, the Christian woman, was going to a special holiday prayer service in the Jewish synagogue, she asked to borrow the Jewish prayer book ahead of time. And late at night, after her family had gone to sleep and she had time to read and contemplate, she spent time reading those prayers and felt a deep connection to what they were saying. After the service, she said to her Jewish friend, "That was a beautiful service, very meaningful. It spoke to me. I could almost be Jewish, except that I can't." These three women started out on almost an intellectual journey, first wanting to write a children's book, and then it became a much longer book for adults because they discovered in their dialogue the richness and the nuances and all the issues that they were exploring. And they also developed quite a friendship and a relationship and found they could talk about faith and doubt and God in a way they never had been able to do with anybody, even people of their own tradition before. And they went through so many things that people of any faith tradition go through. The death of a sister, a family member being diagnosed with cancer, aging parents, and a mom with memory loss who was physically still there, but had really slipped away. They grappled with questions that their children asked and how to answer them. And one of them really felt lost because she had not found a faith community that spoke to her, that seemed to have the kinds of beliefs that she had, and she was missing that. Now, that was Rania, the Muslim woman, but it could just as easily have been the Jewish woman or the Christian woman, because finding a faith community, a place to worship, to come together with fellow believers, is so important to us. At one point, Suzanne, the Christian, went to talk to her Episcopal priest. She was struggling with her faith. At the beginning of their discussion, she was the one who felt the most solid in her faith and her belief. But in explaining it to her friends and hearing about their traditions, she began to wonder and to question. Her priest was very helpful, saying to her, "You're going through what many people do when they enter into interfaith dialogue. You find the commonalities and you celebrate them. And then you wonder, what do I do with the differences between our traditions? How do I like these friends and respect them and their faith and yet hold fast to my own faith?" She was discovering how the richness of these traditions contributed to the betterment of all of them, and how there was so much more learning and growing to do. When we were in Tanzania, I didn't know until we were there that the country is about half Christian and half Muslim, but the population is not equally spread throughout the country. Inland, in Iringa and villages like Boma Longombe, it is mostly Christian, and on the coast, the majority of the population is Muslim. That's where we spent the last few days of the trip. And one day we had a tour guide who was Muslim, and he talked about both the Christian and Muslim traditions and how people in Tanzania seem to get along very well regardless of the differing faith traditions. I started reading this book, The Faith Club, while we were on that trip, and I was reading it one day and I heard the Muslim call to prayer that they do 5 times a day over the loudspeakers in predominantly Muslim areas. How ironic. And then I finished reading the book. When we got home, I was sitting outside in one of my favorite spots. And as I was reading, I would stop and reflect, and I looked up, and above me were all these leaves and branches, this green canopy. And at first I just saw green, and then I realized that there were slightly different greens based on different trees. And then I saw all the definition of the leaves. and the wind whispering through the leaves and the sun dancing on them, and the incredible richness. I could just stare at it for hours, and it looked to me like the richness of these religious traditions. And it's kind of like looking up at the night sky in the summer and seeing stars. And at first you see a few stars, and then more and more as your eyes adjust. Just like God said to Abraham, that your descendants will be as numerous as stars, and you are a blessing to bless all the people of the earth. Amen.